السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. Brothers, as you would have seen, the title for our pre-Tarawih talks this Ramadan is Easy Steps to Jannah. Easy Steps to Jannah. Jannah is the aspiration of every Muslim. Every one of us desires to be granted entry by Allah through His mercy and grace into Jannah. But to earn Jannah is not as difficult as we may think it is. And that is going to be the theme of our discussion this Ramadan. Simple actions, easy actions that can secure us entry into Jannah. Now, before, the idea is to share one such action every day. But before I share the action for today, and each day this will be the format, we'll talk a little about Jannah. And today I want to talk about the different names that has been granted to Jannah. The more something has names, plurality of names is indicative of the greatness of that thing. Even with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, plurality of names, multiple names, denotes the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we refer to it as Jannah. We refer to it as Darus Salam. The Quran talks about Darus Salam. Wallahu yad'u ila Daris Salam, the abode of peace. Because when you enter Jannah, you're free from all the worries and the hassles of this dunya. Darul Khuld, the eternal abode. Everything else in this dunya, you enjoy it for a while, then it comes to an end. Jannah, once you enter, you never exit. You never exit. It's the eternal abode. Darul Muqama, another description in the Quran, an abode that endures, meaning that whoever comes there will never want to leave. No matter where you go in the world, even when you go to Haramain, after a while you become a little homesick. You go to the best holiday destination, and after a while it kind of stabilizes, normalizes. But Jannah is Darul Maqama, the abode that endures. Jannatul Ma'wa, the paradise of abode, meaning that the people of this dunya, they know that this dunya is temporary, and the actual perpetual abode is that of Jannah. Jannatu Adnin or Jannatu Adnin, gardens of Eden. Eden means a place which is very beautiful. Firdaus. Firdaus is another name. It means security, a place where you're totally secure. And the last description that I want to talk about, which is mentioned in the Quran, the last name of Jannah, Maq'adi Sidqin 'inda Malikin Muqtadir, a seat of truth near the omnipotent king. Why should we desire Jannah? This is a very important point. Not because of the damsels of Jannah or the rivers or the palaces, because Jannah is right beneath the throne of Allah. And when you are in Jannah, you are the closest that you can be to Allah. That is why we should aspire for Jannah. So those are some of the names of Jannah mentioned in the Quran. One easy step to secure Jannah. A narration of Muslim, it is mentioned, one day a man was walking and he saw a few branches that were lying on the road. And he thought to himself, let me lift these branches, let me pick it up so it doesn't cause inconvenience to other people. Because of his worrying about the convenience of others, by virtue of that one action, Allah granted him Jannah. Our deen, brothers, is not only about rituals. It's not only about salah and fasting and charity and recitation of Quran. It's about your values and your character. Going out of your way not to inconvenience others, doing things to make it more convenient for others, is a great act in our deen. It can secure you Jannah. In another narration, it is mentioned that this man, he didn't have many good deeds. But because that one day he made intention that let me move these branches from the road so it makes it easier for people who are passing, Allah granted him Jannah. So we should try and make things easier for others. Allah forbid that we become the means of inconvenience to others because of how we park or because of how we speak or because of how we conduct ourselves. Becoming a means of convenience to others can be your ticket to Jannah. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. So no action is insignificant. Now taking the discussion further, who will be the first to enter Jannah? It will be none other than Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a narration it is mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I will knock on the door of Jannah. And the response will come that who is it? And I will say it is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the comment will be made, we have been instructed to open the door of Jannah for none besides you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, if only I was there to see it with you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from my ummah Abu Bakr, you will be the first to enter Jannah. So the first to enter Jannah will be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the first from the ummatis will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is a great bounty of Allah upon us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You are the last ummah to come to earth, but you will be the first ummah to enter Jannah." On the night of Mi'raj, after Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam performed salah leading all the anbiya, every nabi stood up to praise Allah. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally stood up, one of the praises of Allah he mentioned was, "All praise due to that Allah. All praise is due to that Allah who brought my ummah last to the world but will make them enter Jannah first." In one narration, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You have been granted preference over the nations before you in the following: you came last to earth, but you'll be resurrected before them. You will be granted a better position on the plains of reckoning than the previous nations. You will be granted a greater position under the throne of Allah. You will cross, your reckoning will be taken first. You will cross the bridge of Sirat before any of the other nations. You will enter Jannah before any of the other nations. And last but not least, this ummah will make up the biggest percentage of the dwellers of Jannah. Most of the occupants of Jannah will come from this ummah, the ummah that Allah had decreed for you and I to be part of." Let us thank Allah from the recesses of our hearts. Let's work for that Jannah. So like every day, we conclude with one easy step through which we can attain Jannah. Yesterday we spoke about being kind to animals. Any living creature, if you show them kindness, you can enter Jannah. Today we talk about visiting the sick. It is mentioned in a narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "The one who visits his brother who is ill, or his brother in Islam," meaning his religious brother, "then an angel calls out and says to him, 'Bi'antibta wa taaba mamshaka wa tabawwa'ta min al-jannati manzila.' You've done well. Your walking is blessed and you have secured your abode in Jannah." Subhanallah. To go and visit someone who is sick for the pleasure of Allah, that can be your ticket to Jannah. Today we live very individualistic lives. We're living only for ourselves. A sick person feels very down. A sick person feels very depressed. A sick person worries and has a lot of anxiety. And better than the medication prescribed by the doctor is when he sees those people who are close to him, who are dear to him, when someone visits him and says something encouraging to him. So visiting a brother for the pleasure of Allah, especially a sick brother, can be your ticket to Jannah. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Now taking the discussion further, we take a look at another narration. One day, a person came and he was from the Ahlul Kitab, the people of the book. And he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that "I hear that you tell your people that in Jannah, you will eat and you will drink." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yes, in Jannah you will eat and you will drink, but not like in this world. In Jannah you will be granted the energy of 100 men when it comes to eating, drinking and sexual intimacy." 100 men meaning an abundance of energy, an abundance of strength to consume, to drink and to fulfill, to secure sexual gratification. So the man then followed up the question and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, but if you eat and drink, then you would need to relieve yourself. So will you be going to the loo in Jannah?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "No, the people of Jannah, they will eat to their fill." You know, in this world, sometimes you eat something very delicious and they say it's going to burn twice. Once it burns your tongue and then it's going to burn you the next day when you visit the bathroom. So that's the nature of dunya. Dunya is imperfect. But in Jannah, you can eat whatever you want, how much you want, to what extent you want. And all that will happen is you'll give a burp, and even that will give off the fragrance of musk. You will sweat, and even that will give a sweet fragrance as per this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we've been concluding the discussion every day by mentioning one action, one easy action that can secure us entry into Jannah. And yesterday we said visiting the sick, and we discussed the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When you go out to visit someone who is sick or a Muslim brother of yours, the angels congratulate you. They tell you that your travel is blessed and you have secured your spot in Jannah. A sick person is vulnerable. A sick person is anxious. A sick person needs company. He needs consolation. When you take out the time from your busy schedule to visit someone who is sick, that just could be your ticket to Jannah. The hadith or the action that I want to conclude with today in terms of one easy step that can secure us entry into Jannah, the scholars write, do not harass your neighbors. Do not cause any difficulty or any hardship to your neighbors. Because in the narration of Sahih Muslim, it is mentioned that he whose neighbor is not protected from his evil and harassment will not enter paradise. So whether your neighbor is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, be kind to them, be good to them, be courteous to them. The minimum is, do not be of any inconvenience or harm to them. But more than that, be good to them. If they are Muslims, all the more. If they are non-Muslims, show them the beauty of Islam and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That just could be your ticket to Jannah. May Allah grant us the understanding. Now, continuing, you know, in life we always want to be amongst the first. Amongst the first. There's a hadith I want to share with you today which talks about the description of the first people who will enter Jannah. The description of the first people who will enter Jannah. They will be as beautiful as the moon. They will not spit or blow their noses or relieve themselves. In Jannah, Allah will give them vessels of gold. Their combs with which they comb their hair will be made of gold and silver. The bakhur, the fragrant sticks that they will use in Jannah will be of aloe wood. And their sweat will give off the fragrance of musk. Each one of them will have two wives. The beauty of these women will be such that the marrow of the bones in the leg will be visible through the flesh because of the extreme beauty. Just say subhanallah, don't imagine too much because we have ghusl facilities there. There will be no hatred or resentment amongst the peoples of Jannah. It will be like everyone's heart is one. Different people will be on different levels. Different people will enjoy different things. But no one will be jealous of the other one. No one will be jealous of the other one whatsoever. And what will they be doing? In the morning and in the evening, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, glorifying Allah. Glorifying Allah. That this is what Allah has granted us. So don't only make dua for Jannah. Say, oh Allah, I want to be from that first group that will enter Jannah. And when you make that dua, then also follow it up with action. You know, you want the best car, then you work hard so you can afford it. You want to be the best runner, you train so that you can be the best. We will never enter Jannah because of our good deeds. It will be because of the mercy of Allah. But let's make an effort to attract the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, easy actions that will secure us entering to Jannah. Yesterday we said, don't harass your neighbors. Don't harass your neighbors. Meaning, don't do anything that will cause any difficulty to your neighbor. If you are good to your neighbor, whether your neighbor is a Muslim or non-Muslim, then inshallah that could be your ticket to Jannah. Today I want to discuss something else, a very simple action that can secure us entry into Jannah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا, that you will not be true believers until you love one another. ولا تحابوا, and you will not love one another until you do not spread the salam. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Greet one another regularly, repeatedly, passionately, with consciousness, with enthusiasm. That will create that love, and that love will secure your entry into Jannah. لَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُوا. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you want to be a genuine believer who will enter Jannah, then you have to have that love, that mutual love. And the most effective way of attaining that mutual love is by making salam to one another. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Now those are the people who will be the first to enter Jannah. And we should aspire for that. And we should work towards that. And we should make dua for that. But today we discuss a hadith which talks about the person who will be the last to enter Jannah. Unfortunately, this person will have to go to the fire of Jahannam first for the wrongs that he did. Now, it's a lengthy hadith and there are various narrations. I'm just giving you the crux of it. They say when he comes out of Jahannam, he'll be stepping and then slipping and the flames of Jahannam will still be burning him, even though he's just out of Jahannam. So he'll make dua and say, oh Allah, save me from Jahannam. And Allah will say, okay, if I save you from Jahannam, will you ask for anything else? He says, oh Allah, for bi'izzatik, by your honor, I'll ask for nothing else. And then Allah will save him totally from Jahannam, and he'll be so relieved from the horrors of Jahannam that he will say, what Allah has given me, Allah has not given anyone before me, nor will Allah give anyone after me. Just being saved from Jahannam will be such a relief from him that he will think, No one has been blessed the way he has been blessed. Then Allah will cause a tree to grow and a spring to gush forth. When he sees the tree and its spring, he'll say, oh Allah, just let me move to the tree so I can take shade and I can drink from the spring. So Allah will said, but you said you won't ask. He said, oh Allah, one more request. So Allah will have mercy on him and he'll be moved. And hardly will he go there and start enjoying the shade of the tree and the water of the spring. He'll see an even more beautiful tree and an even better spring. And he'll make dua again. And Allah will say, but O son of Adam, have you forgotten your promise? He'll say, oh Allah, by your honor, last request. And then when he comes to this tree, it will just be on the outskirts of Jannah. Some narrations say he'll just be able to see into Jannah. And other narrations say he'll be able to hear the people of Jannah. So again, he'll say, oh Allah, enter me into Jannah. And Allah will say, oh son of Adam, have you forgotten your promise? He will say, oh Allah, definitely this is the last request. This is the last request. So Allah will say to him, okay, how much of place do you want in Jannah? He's the last. This narration is in Bukhari and Muslim. He's the last person to enter Jannah. Allah will say, how much of place you want? He'll say, oh Allah, as long as I get Jannah, I'm happy. Allah says, okay, if I give you the equivalent of the entire planet Earth in space in Jannah, will you be happy? He'll say, oh Allah, are you joking with me? And you are Rabbul Alameen? Are you making a joke with me? So Allah will say, I am not joking. I am all powerful. I will give you in Jannah the equivalent of the world in space times 2, times 2 again, 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 times 10. He'll say, oh Allah, I'm happy. Oh Allah, I'm happy. Oh Allah, I'm happy. That is the extent of space and land that the last person who will enter Jannah will get. Can you imagine the vastness and the spaciousness of Jannah? Can you imagine what will be reserved for those people who will be amongst the first? So there's the contrast and the comparison that I drew for you between those who will be first in Jannah. If this is what the last person in Jannah is going to get, you can only but imagine what the first person who enters Jannah or the first people who enter Jannah will get. May Allah make us from amongst them. Now the easy actions that will secure us Jannah. Yesterday we said that the hadith says, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will never enter Jannah until you believe. And you will never be a true believer until you love one another. And the most effective way of creating love between one another, afshu salam bainakum, spread the salam. So spreading the salam, making the salam common, can be your ticket to Jannah. Today, I'll share with you another easy step of how to secure entry into Jannah. And this is based on a question that was asked by a sahabi. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me about that action that will save me from Jahannam and secure my entry into Jannah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, worship Allah, do not associate any partners with Allah, perform your salah, give your zakah, meaning your fundamentals. And then, وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِمُ, maintain family ties. The maintaining of family ties will secure your entry into Jannah. Don't do it so others can appreciate. Don't do it because you feel you owe it to them or you don't feel you owe it. Do it for the pleasure of Allah, even if they don't appreciate. Even if they're not worthy of it. Because that could be, it's to your advantage. Maintaining family ties, if you do it for the pleasure of Allah, it's to your advantage. It just could be the ticket that will secure your entry into Jannah. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Now today we talk about how the Jannatis will enter Jannah. You know, in this world they talk about a grand entrance. Allah says, وَسِئِقَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا رَبَّهُمْ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ زُمَرًا. Once all the reckoning has been done and once it has been decided as to who will go to Jannah, the people of Jannah will now be led to Jannah. Subhanallah. Just try and imagine for a moment how the delegation of Jannatis will be led to the gates of Jannah. They'll be huge in number. The majority will be from this ummah, as we had discussed previously. The space between the two edges of the door frame in Jannah, like an ordinary door, the space may be a meter between the two edges. The space between the two edges of the door in Jannah will be 70 years journey. No one will push another one. I said the other day, in Jannah, everyone's hearts will be united. People will be holding hands, they'll be hugging each other, and they'll be walking through the doors of Jannah as one.
No pushing, no shoving. I must get in first, you know, me first. How are we getting on in this dunya? Everyone will be allowed the grand entrance. Jahannam has 7 doors. Jannah has 8 doors. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the name of one of the doors of Jannah is Rehan. The people who fast will be called from that door. That enter. Enter. May Allah make us amongst them. May Allah accept our fast. Those who are regular with the salah, there'll be a door for that. Those who are regular with charity, there'll be a door for that. Those who are regular in the path of Allah, there'll be a door for that. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, Ya Rasulullah, the people who fast will be called from one door, the people who are regular with salah will be called from another door. Is there anyone who will be called from all 8 doors? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, and Abu Bakr, I hope that you will be amongst them. Those people who excel on multiple fronts, they excel when it comes to salah, they excel when it comes to fasting, they excel when it comes to charity, their names will be called from each of the 8 doors and they will be given a choice. Choose the door of your option. Choose your, which door do you want to enter from into Jannah? May Allah make us from amongst them. May Allah grant us the ability to strive on multiple fronts so that we can become from amongst those who will be the first entrance into Jannah, whose names will be proclaimed from all 8 doors of Jannah. Say Ameen and Inshallah, brothers. How do we secure entry into Jannah? Yesterday we said maintaining family ties. That Sahabi came to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, show me an action which if I do it, it will save me from Jahannam and secure my entry into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, worship Allah, don't associate partners with Him, perform your salah, give your zakah, meaning the fundamentals, watasilur rahim, and maintain family ties. Today I want to discuss a hadith. Subhanallah, Allah has made it so easy for us to enter Jannah. Abu Sa'id Khudri radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever keeps the masjid free of dirt by cleaning it, Allah will construct a house for him in paradise. We are all aware of the hadith that whoever builds a masjid, Allah will grant him a house in Jannah. Not everybody has the ability to build a masjid, the financial ability. If you keep the masjid clean, Allah will give you a house in Jannah. The minimum we should do is we should not dirty. But beyond that, we're walking in, you're walking out, you see a paper, you see a speck of dirt. That one seemingly minor, minuscule action could just be your ticket to Jannah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Now, when you enter Jannah, how old will you be? 33 years in the prime of life. Hairless, beardless, with kuhl and surma in your eyes. Fair in complexion. The height of Adam alayhi salam, 60 cubits. I was checking, they say one cubit is about 0.4 meters. So 25 to 30 meters in height, 7 cubits in width or breadth. And this is the remarkable thing. Allah says in this world, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min da'f. You created small and weak. ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ ضَعْفٍ قُوَّةٍ. Then you become strong. But after the strength of the prime of your life, ثُمَّ جَعَلَ مِن بَعْدِ قُوَّةٍ ضَعْفًا وَشَيْبًا. Then life comes full circle. You started off in nappies, you end off in nappies. You couldn't get off the bed when you were a toddler, now you can't get off the bed when you're in old age. Even the most beautiful of women, when they age, you're like, hey, how come once upon a time people used to say she's beautiful? What happened here? Father time caught up. But in Jannah, forever and ever, you remain 33 years of age, 60 cubits in height, 70 cubits in breadth. No hair. Don't have to worry about plucking or shaving or trimming. No hair on the head, no hair on the beard. Kuhl permanently in the eyes. Why? Why will you be granted such a big physique in Jannah? The scholars have written, so that you can get greater pleasure in the delights of Jannah. You'll have a bigger body so that you can enjoy the pleasures of Jannah to a greater extent. How do we earn Jannah? Simple steps. Yesterday we said, based on a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that keep the masjid clean. Firstly, don't do anything to dirty. The masjid, the wudu khana, the bathroom facilities, the surrounds of the masjid. Secondly, you see something, pick it up, clean it up. It could be your ticket to Jannah. Today, I want to discuss another easy step to Jannah. Speaking courteously. من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليسمت. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if you truly believe in Allah and the last day, say something good, otherwise zip it, keep quiet. If you don't have something good to say, keep quiet. Don't be a grumpy chacha. Every issue, every day, you leave the masjid, you're griping about this, you're griping about that, you've got this issue, that issue, whenever you meet somebody, you're negative, only speaking negative things, only complaints coming out of your mouth. No, no, no. That's not the behavior of a Muslim. Be positive. At times, obviously, there are issues to be raised, you raise it. However, when you speak to people courteously, even if you need to raise the issue, even if you need to say something negative, but you can say it in a positive way. And if you speak courteously, if you have a good word to say to people, then that is part of the list of things that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a lengthy hadith, he spoke about houses that are so beautiful that from outside you can see the inside and from inside you can see the outside. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, for whom are these houses reserved? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a few categories of people which we'll discuss in the coming days. And the first of these categories of people, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, those who speak courteously, who have a good word to say. May Allah make us from amongst them. Today I want to talk to you about the buildings of Jannah. But before I do that, I want you to just imagine for a moment, just think about the smartest, most beautiful, most attractive building that you've seen on earth. Whether it's some commercial property in Dubai, or whether it is something in Kuala Lumpur, or someone's house in Indonesia, the best building you've ever seen in your life. Think about it. Just imagine it. Picture it for a moment. Now, let me tell you about the buildings of Jannah. The bricks are of gold and silver. There's no face brick and, you know, that kind of thing. Gold and silver. The cement is a fragrant musk. The stones and the pebbles that will be used will be of pearls and sapphires. The soil, the building sand, will be of saffron. You know, when your wife has a small tin of zafran in the kitchen, she values it. The sand, the building sand in Jannah will be of saffron. The houses of Jannah will be such that as soon as you enter it, you'll be filled with joy and you will never know misery. You will live therein forever. You can build the most palatial of homes in this world. At some point, your children are going to fight over who inherits. In Jannah, you live in there forever. Your clothes will never wear out. The domestic won't burn it in Jannah. It won't get small. You won't expand. You won't carry extra tires around the waist. Your youth will never fade. And Allah says in Surah Muhammad, وَيُدْخِلُهُمُ الْجَنَّةَ عَرَّفَهَا لَهُمْ. When they enter Jannah, they'll know exactly which house is theirs. You will know in your house in Jannah better than you will know your house here on planet Earth. You could be living for 60 years in the same house, but when you walk into Jannah, automatically Allah will make it such, you will know which house is yours. Then, you know, like in this world, you have your main house and then you've got your beach flat, right? In Jannah, you'll have a tent, khiyam, pavilion. Khiyam in Arabic is a kind of tent that the Arabs used to make out of fabric. Every believer in Jannah will have minimum one tent that is made out of a hollow pearl 60 miles in height. 60 miles in height. That tent, this is not your main house, this is your beach flat. That tent will be so big that in every corner you will have a different hoor whom nobody can see and nobody will ever see. Allah talks about this in Surah Rahman. Hurun maqsuratun fil khiyam. These beautiful, fair looking women, maqsurat, they'll be guarded in one corner fil khiyam of those tents and those pavilions. How do we earn Jannah? Yesterday we mentioned that speak a courteous word. If you don't have something good to say, keep quiet. But when you say, speak nicely, softly, gently, diplomatically, respectfully. Today, I want to discuss another part of a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ya ayyuhan nas, that O people, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam listed a few things that you can do in order to enter Jannah. And one of the things he said, Wa at'imu ta'am, feed people. Obviously, feed those who are hungry, feed those who are poor and destitute. But even those people who are not hungry, you feed them out of your generosity. Let your dastarkhan be laden, let your tablecloth be open. Especially in the month of Ramadan, feed the servants of Allah. Feeding others is such an action, an easy action. You don't, according to what you can afford, you don't have to feed everyone prawns. You don't have to have a bribe. Whatever you can afford, give and feed people, and that can be a stepping stone to Jannah. May Allah grant us the understanding. Now today, we talk about the trees and the fruits of Jannah. And I'm going to mention verses from the Quran and explain. Allah says in Surah Waqi'ah, Fi sidrim makhdood, thornless lote trees. The trees of Jannah won't have any thorns. In this world, you see the beautiful rose, but every rose has its thorns. وَطَلْحِمْ مَنْدُودِ Allah talks about banana trees. The fruits will be piled one on top of the other. One on top of the other. وَظِلِّمْ مَمْدُودِ Long extended shade. The trees of Jannah will give you such an extension of shade that according to one narration, you can travel for 100 years and the shade of the tree will not come to an end. ذَوَاتَ أَفْنَانِ Verse of Surah Rahman. The branches of the trees of Jannah will be totally spread out. فِيهَا فَاقِهَةٌ وَنَخْلُ وَرُمَّانِ You will find fruits, you will find date palms, and you will find pomegranates. Those are names so that we can understand that we will have fruits in Jannah. But the pomegranates and the dates of Jannah will be totally different in its taste, in its beauty, in its attraction, in its smell than the fruits of this world. وَدَانِيَةً عَلَيْهِمْ ظِلَالُهَا وَذُلِّلَتْ قُتُوفُهَا تَذْلِيلًا The shade will be close by and the branches and the fruits will hang low. So it will be easily accessible. The scholars write you can eat the fruits of Jannah standing, sitting, or even relaxing and reclining. You can be relaxing like you would on your couch and you can just pick the fruit of your choice. The branches will be hanging low for your convenience. وَفَاكِهَةٍ كَثِيرًا لَا مَقْطُوعَةٍ وَلَا مَمْنُوعَةٍ Verses of Surah Waqi'ah again, Allah says, there'll be plenty of fruit. It won't be restricted by season. You know, you want lovely mangoes, it's only in the season. You want lychees, it's only in the season. In the beginning of the season and the end of the season, you say, no, it's still not the good quality. It's not the best. In Jannah, it's perpetually season. Whatever fruit you want. La maqtu'a wa la mamnu'a. And there will never be a situation where you run out of stock. It's never out of season, it's never out of stock. Let me mention a narration of Bukhari and Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a lengthy narration said to Sahaba, I saw the fruits of paradise and I stretched my hands to take the fruits of Jannah. If I had brought, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if I had brought just one fruit of Jannah to this world, you would have continued to eat from it as long as the world would remain. If I had brought just one fruit of Jannah with me to this world, you would have continued eating from it until the end of time. Let me say this to you. The scholars have written so beautifully, in this world you eat out of need. You eat to satiate your hunger. In Jannah there will be no need, there will be no hunger. You will eat purely out of enjoyment. Here you eat to fill your belly, to gain strength, to quell the pangs of hunger. In Jannah, you will only eat out of enjoyment and delight. May Allah grant us all. Jannatul Firdaus. Yesterday we explained that one easy step to entering Jannah is feed people. Obviously the needy, but feed in general. Feed in general. Feed wherever you can. Today, the last part of that hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَصَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ نِيَامٌ Read salah when people are sleeping, meaning your tahajjud. Tahajjud is an easy step to Jannah. If you wake up a little, sehri time is tahajjud time, because tahajjud time expires when sehri expires. We are in winter months. Wake up a little early. If you can't manage the 8 rakats, read 2 rakats, 2 short rakats. After Ramadan, continue with the habit. Wake up a little early because Fajr is late in the winter months. Make a habit of tahajjud. If you've got qada salah, qada umri, wake up at tahajjud time, but make your qada because that gets preference. But inshallah, even if you're waking up and you're making qada, Allah will grant you the reward of tahajjud. And a person who becomes regular with tahajjud, wasallu wa nasu niyam, and that is inshallah your ticket to Jannah. May Allah grant us the understanding. Now, taking the discussion further from there, today we talk more specifically about the food of Jannah. But before I get into that, there's something remarkable I read today about Jannah. The scholars have written that like in this world, every second of your existence, you're inhaling and exhaling air. In this world, every second, you're inhaling and you're exhaling air. You don't have to make an effort. It's a natural function of your body. In Jannah, you're inhaling and you're exhaling will be dhikr and glorification of Allah. It will be a natural function. Alhamdulillah, subhanallah. It will just be coming out naturally, like how you breathe in and breathe out in this world. Abdullah bin Salam radiallahu anh was a Jewish rabbi. And he says, when I wanted to accept Islam, I decided to test the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So one of the questions I asked him was, what will be the first food that the people of Jannah will eat? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded and said, it will be the extra lobe of the liver of the fish. And that's the most tastiest part. And that was exactly what was mentioned in the Torah. And he was convinced and he accepted Islam. So that is the first food, fish liver or fish that you will eat in Jannah. The remarkable thing about the food of Jannah, the scholars write, in this world, you have to work for your plate of food. One is you have to work to earn the money to purchase the items. Then, I mean, if you just take a simple example, whatever you had for iftar, your wife was preparing. She already made the savories before Ramadan, then she had to fry it, then the chutney, then the roti. There's a lot of work that goes into preparing the meal before you can enjoy the meal. In Jannah, there will be no preparation. In Jannah, there will be no effort. There is a narration that you will see a bird flying and you will desire to consume that bird and it will fall in front of you roasted, ready to be eaten. Not like that ijtima queue when you're waiting for the chicken tikka. No. You see the bird flying, you desire to eat that bird, it falls right in front of you roasted. Not like when you go to the restaurant, they say good food takes time to prepare. In Jannah, it doesn't work like that. Another amazing thing about the food of Jannah, subhanallah. The first juice of the Quran, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, كُلَّمَا رُزِقُوا مِنْهَا مِنْ ثَمَرَةِ الرِّزْقَ قَالُوا هَذَا الَّذِي رُزِقْنَا مِنْ قَبْلُ وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. Let's say you ate grapes today in Jannah. The next day, you will be presented with grapes again. And the people will say, but this is same or similar to what we ate yesterday. But only when you eat it, you will realize that even though you're eating the same fruit or the same food, every time you eat it in Jannah, the taste will be different and better. The same food item, every time you eat it in Jannah, the taste will be different and better. And it will not come to an end. As Allah says in the Quran, أُكُلُهَا دَائِمْ. You will continuously eat and every time it will be better. إِنَّ هَذَا لَرِزْقُنَا مَا لَهُ مِنْ نَفَادِ. Allah says, this will be our sustenance for the people of Jannah. It will never come to an end. It will never run out of stock. Easy steps on earning Jannah. Yesterday, we said that صَلُّوا وَالنَّاسُ النِّيَامُ. Perform the tahajjud salah. And Ramadan gives you a good opportunity and we are in the winter months. Today, give people water to drink. One sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, show me an action that will secure me entry into Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, in your village there's a shortage of water. Buy a leather bag and give people water. Before you tear open the leather, your ticket will already be booked to Jannah. The best charity is to give people water to drink. Whether it's zamzam or ordinary water, especially in areas where they need it most. So a simple act like that can secure our entry into Jannah. May Allah grant us the tawfiq. Now, if you have food, you have to have drink. And today we talk about the drinks of Jannah and the springs of Jannah. I want to talk about two verses in Surah Ad-Dahr, which we read or hear is being recited in Salah every often. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ يَشْرَبُونَ مِنْ كَأْسٍ كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا كَافُورًا. The pious in Jannah, they will drink wine which is mixed with kafur, aynan, that comes from a spring. So that's one type of drink. wine mixed with kafur. Another type of drink, وَيُسْقَوْنَ فِيهَا كَأْسًا كَانَ مِزَاجُهَا زَنْجَبِيلًا. Wine that's mixed with ginger. عَيْنًا فِيهَا تُسَمَّى سَلْسَبِيلًا, which comes from a spring called Salsabil. Salsabil means a pleasant drink. So kafur is a cold drink and zanjabil is a hot drink. So whether you want a cold drink or whether you want a hot drink, both will be in offer in Jannah. The smell, not only will the taste be beautiful, but the smell of the drink will be superb. Even the smell of the drink will be superb. And we talk about wine, but unlike wine in this world, which intoxicates, Allah says, وَسَقَاهُمْ رَبُّهُمْ شَرَابًا طَهُورًا. It'll be pure. I read somewhere they say, the drink of Jannah will not only be pure in terms of not intoxicating, it will be pure in the sense that it will purify your heart. Every time you drink, you'll be a better person, you'll have a cleaner heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make us from amongst those people. They say, it's a narration, Sahih Muslim, every time you take a drink from Jannah, after taking the drink, when you look at your wife, you will remark and say, my wife, you are looking 70 times more beautiful than you were looking before I took the drink. Now, I must mention one thing. I'm talking about it from a male perspective because the audience is male. But every bounty that the males will get in Jannah, the females will also get in Jannah. The aspect of hoors, I'll explain that in a couple of days' time, inshallah. Once the shower facilities are all ready, then we'll go in that discussion. But let's not make this mistake. Jannah is not only for men. If a woman is more pious than a man, she'll have a higher rank in Jannah. Your sister can be on a higher level than you in Jannah. Your mother can be on a higher level than you in Jannah. And if they want you to join them, then in honor of them, Allah will elevate you. So men and women are equal in that spiritual sense. Then if you, that is the drink of Jannah, the springs of Jannah. The Quran talks repeatedly about the rivers of Jannah. Jannatin tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Gardens beneath which rivers flow. وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ. Water that is constantly flowing. Tomorrow we'll talk a little bit more about the different types of rivers that you get in Jannah, inshallah. But easy steps to Jannah. Yesterday we explained that if you give water to people, that can secure you your abode in paradise. And I discussed that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the best form of charity is to give people water to drink. Today I want to discuss, being lenient in your business dealings can secure you Jannah. Especially if you are lenient with those people who owe you money. It is mentioned in a narration, I'm giving you the crux of it. A man passed away and the angels told him, hey, we're looking at your book of deeds, there's nothing here. There's nothing to get you into Jannah. Is there something that you can think about, you know, that can tip the scales in your favor? He said, hey, I don't really think there's anything. He said, think hard. He said, okay, there's one quality I had. If someone owed me money and if he was rich, I would give him extra time to pay. And if someone owed me money and he didn't have, I'd forgive the debt. In lieu of that, he was granted Jannah. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made a dua, Rahim Allah, may Allah have mercy on that person. Samhan, who is easygoing when he sells, when he buys. So be easy with people in your business dealings, especially those who are owing you money. Not because you want their appreciation, because you want Jannah. Because you want Jannah. Now today I want to discuss a verse from Surah Muhammad, which talks about the four different types of rivers that you will find in Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, مَثَلُ الْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي وَعِدَ الْمُتَّقُونَ. That this Jannah is promised for those people who have taqwa. And this month of Ramadan is there to build taqwa. And if you build your taqwa, then you're on your way to Jannah, inshallah. تجري من تحتها الانهار. Allah تبارك وتعالى says, or فيها انهار. Allah says, in Jannah there are rivers. من ماء غير آسن. From water, the smell and taste of which never changes. Now water in this world, if it becomes stagnant, the taste changes and the smell changes as well. In Jannah, the water will never change in its taste or in its smell. It will flow. It will continuously be fresh. And it will continuously be water that you can consume. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Rivers of milk, the smell or the taste of which never changes. Imagine a river of milk. Just imagine. You know when you go to this Wombats and Bud Plus and they tell you they're going to put you in that bath and they have the milk bath, and then you come there and they put a couple of drops of milk and that's it. Imagine taking a dive and taking a swim in a river of milk in Jannah. Milk in this world can go off. It can become sour. Allah says, لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. Not in Jannah. In Jannah it will never go sour. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ خَمْرٍ لَذَّةٍ لِلشَّارِبِينَ. Rivers of wine that will be delicious for those who drink it. Meaning, it will not be wine that smells, nor will it be wine that will intoxicate you. It will only bring you pleasure and it will only bring you delight. وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّنْ عَسَلٍ مُصَفَّى. So we have rivers of water, rivers of milk, rivers of wine, and then rivers of honey, which is clarified. Totally pure. You won't find all those small particles that you need, normally have to extract from the honey. All of these rivers will be found. The greatest river in Jannah is Kawthar, the river of Kawthar. But before I talk about that, let me just tell you something in passing. I don't have time to go into detail. Interestingly, four rivers of this world have its origination in Jannah. Sayhan, Jayhan, the Euphrates and the Nile. The sources of these rivers are in Jannah. How? Another day, another time. There's a lot of detail to it. But this for interest's sake. So coming back to Kawthar, this is the biggest river in Jannah. Now normally we talk about the Hawdha Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar. The river of Kawthar is actually in Jannatul Firdaus. It's the biggest river and it's right there in the highest part of Jannah. But the river flows right onto the plains of resurrection and it collects into a pond, and that pond is known as the Hawdha Kawthar, the pond of Kawthar. So those who are successful in their reckoning, they'll first drink inshallah from the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the pond of Kawthar, and then in Jannah you will have the river of Kawthar. On both sides of the banks of the river of Kawthar are hollowed pearls. The jugs around the river is as many as the stars. No one will have to queue and no one will have to worry that I won't have a cup. They are birds on the banks of the river Kawthar. Their necks are as big as that of camels. So when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba this, Umar radiallahu anhu said, hey, these are lucky birds. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the people who will eat the birds are even more lucky. The people who will eat the birds are even more lucky. The sand on the riverbed of Kawthar is made of musk, and the pebbles of this riverbed is rubies and gems. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the Sahaba, when it comes to the river of Kawthar, the water is sweeter than honey and whiter than snow. Imagine. That's all you can do. Imagine. May Allah grant it to all of us. Another easy step to Jannah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said, if you see a fault in your brother and you conceal and cover that fault for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will grant you Jannah. Now, we've been speaking about the foods of Jannah and the drinks of Jannah. You need utensils. You need cutlery. Let's look at verses of the Quran in this regard. يُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِصِحَافٍ مِّنْ ذَهَبٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ. There'll be trays and cups of gold, genuine gold, that will be passed around. And then in that very verse Allah says, وَفِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِيهِ الْأَنفُسِ. In Jannah you'll get whatever your heart desires. These things which we are discussing are those things which Allah has mentioned, or Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned, which we can to some extent understand. Fruits, drink, food. But there are many things in Jannah which have not been mentioned because we don't have the capacity to understand it on earth. The famous hadith, مَا لَا أَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In Jannah there are such things no eye has seen, no ear has even heard about it, and no heart has the ability to even imagine it. That's what's in Jannah. So coming back to the utensils, وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِآنِيَةٍ مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ وَأَكْوَابٍ كَانَتْ قَوَارِيرًا قَوَارِيرًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ. You will find vessels of silver and cups of crystal, قَوَارِيرًا مِّنْ فِضَّةٍ, crystal clear silver. Then, in terms of your dress, يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ. Fine silk, thick silk. You'll have fine silk garments, thick silk garments. مِنْ خُدْرٍ. Some of it will be green. In terms of the jewelry, يُحَلَّوْنَ فِيهَا مِنْ أَسَاوِرَ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ وَلُؤْلُؤًا. the people of Jannah will wear bracelets of gold and they will wear pearls. Then the couches of Jannah, not Motani, much better than that. Wa furushim marfu'ah. The Quran says it will be elevated. Your couch or your throne will be elevated. Muttaki'ina ala furushim bata'inuha min istabrak. The people of Jannah will recline on couches which are made of silk brocade. The servants of Jannah. وَيُطَافُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. You'll have boys in Jannah who will live forever. You don't have to worry about a retirement fund for your servants in Jannah. And sometimes in this world you see your employee, your mood goes. In Jannah, when you see your servants, إِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ حَسِبْتَهُمْ لُؤْلُؤًا مَنْثُورًا. When you see your servants, it will be like you're looking at scattered pearls. In a narration, it's mentioned, every Jannati will have minimum 1,000 servants. Each one of them will be doing something different in your service. Each one of them. Now, I want to share with you one verse of the Quran before we wrap up for today. Anything in life, if you want to enjoy it, you want to enjoy it with your family. I want to go for Umrah, but I want to take my kids. I want to go on holiday, I want to take my kids. Whatever I enjoy, I want my wife and I want my children to enjoy. The people of Iman, Allah says in Surah Tur, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانِ. If you died with Iman, and your family members died with Iman, and both of you are in Jannah, but let's say the father was a pious guy, he's on a higher level, and his children were okay, they're on a lower level. Because of the father's desire to be united with his entire family in Jannah, I'm just using father as an example, it could be the mother, it could be the grandfather, Allah will elevate the ranks of the remaining members of the family so you can all enjoy a higher level in Jannah as a result of the one person in that family who was more pious. أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَمَا أَلَتْنَاهُمْ مِنْ عَمَلِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That person, his rank won't drop, but Allah will give promotion to the others so you can enjoy the bounties of Jannah on a greater level as a family. Today you fly business class, mother and father, their children in economy. No upgrade. Right? No upgrade. They in Jannah, they say upgrade for everyone. Not into business, but into first class. Easy steps to Jannah. Yesterday we discussed, you conceal the fault of another Muslim, Allah will grant you Jannah. Today I want to discuss a hadith. You read the 12 rakat sunnat mu'akkada every day. Allah says, I'll build for your house in Jannah. 2 rakats before Fajr, 4 before Zuhar, 2 after Zuhar, 2 after Maghrib, and the 2 after Isha. The 12 sunnat mu'akkada in one day. You make sunnat mu'akkada part of your daily routine. Every day Allah is building a house for you in Jannah.
Now, talk about the hoors. Or in English they say the huris. Or some translated as the damsels of Jannah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, كَذَلِكَ وَزَوَّجَنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. We will marry them to huris with wide, lovely eyes. Wide, lovely eyes. This word, hur, it comes from the plural hura. And I want to give you the definition that one scholar, Aifi, has given. I'll read it to you exactly because he spent it so beautifully. He says, a hur is a young, beautiful and lovely girl whose intense beauty would bewilder the onlooker due to her attractiveness and the fairness of her color. That is a hur. Why do they say, وَحُورٌ عِينٌ. This word عِين, it means wide, lovely eyes. And some scholars have given more detail. They say عِين means a girl that has wide eyes and the black part of the eye, the iris, is very dark and the white part of the eye is very white. So describing the eyes of the hoors of Jannah, the black part is very black, the white part is very white and the eyes are wide, hence they're known as the Hurun Eem. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, Inna ansha'na hunna insha'a. That the hoors are a special creation of Allah. Faja'alna hunna abkara. Allah says, each hoor will be a virgin. And the scholars have written that every time you have relations with your hoor, when you go back there, the next time you will find that once again she's a virgin. Every time you have relations with your hoor, when you go back again, you will find that she is still a virgin. عُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا. Allah says they love their husbands only. لَمْ يَتْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. No man or no jinn has seen them or touched them. They are yours only, totally, exclusively, only for you. In another verse, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. That the hoors of Jannah will be pure, meaning they will not have their monthly cycle, they will not menstruate. So you won't have a situation like in dunya where your revs are high but the robot is red. No, in Jannah inshallah no problem like that. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَطْرَابًا. وَكَوَاعِبَ أَطْرَابًا. Young, full-breasted maidens of equal age. كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانُ. When you look at the hoors, it will be like you're looking at emeralds and you're looking at rubies. فِيهِنَّ خَيْرَاتُ الْحِسَانُ. They are fair, good and beautiful. I mentioned previously also, in Jannah, you will be granted the strength, the sexual strength of 1,000 men. So you'll have all of these hoors, but you will be granted the strength of 1,000 men. So you won't need the blue pill or the cheaper version, the red pill. No need in Jannah. There is a narration in Bukhari where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if one of the hoors were to come to earth, they would fill the entire distance between the heavens and earth with light. And the entire distance between the heavens and earth will be filled with the aroma of the fragrance of the hoors of Jannah. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded the narration by saying that if just the veil, the parda of a poor Jannah is better than this world and whatever it contains. Now this is very good time, right? I'm leaving in 2 days' time, so I just want to wrap up this entire series. Just 2 more minutes. Many times women ask, so what about us? This is an important question. What about us? So the men are getting whores. What will the women get? Firstly, it is mentioned in a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the women of this world will be much more beautiful in Jannah than the whores of Jannah. Why? Because they work for it. The whores are in Jannah for your pleasure. But the women of this world, they earn Jannah. So because of their fasting, because of their salah, because of their efforts, Allah says they will be granted beauty far greater than that of the whores. So what I'm telling you about the beauty of the whores, if you're marveling at that, then just try to imagine what your wife will look like in Jannah. The only thing is both of you need to get there. But next time when you're looking at it, you say, why are you smiling? I say, my darling, I'm thinking of how beautiful you are now and how much more beautiful you look in Jannah. Secondly, Allah in His decree and in His wisdom, He has granted men certain things, He has granted women certain things. The superiority of a woman of this world, meaning your wife, in Jannah over the whores, according to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith, is like the superiority of your garments over your undergarments. The whores are nothing in front of the believing women who will make it to Jannah. Now why is it that men get whores? That Allah knows in His wisdom. But different scholars have given different answers. I'll mention two and then we'll conclude. The one is that scholars say in Jannah there will be no jealousy. So there will be no woman who will say, why am I not getting a whore when the men are getting a whore? Everybody will be content with what they get. Everyone will be content with what they get. And she will be the queen of the whores. There's a famous scholar who has passed on, Sheikh Mutawalli Sha'arawi from Egypt. And I was listening to one of his talks just yesterday. And he gave a beautiful example. He said, you know, you will notice many women that even after their husbands pass away, they don't feel to get married. Men, you cry a couple of crocodile tears and the next day already you're looking. But women, many of them, even though it's permissible, they spend years thereafter not wanting to enjoy the intimacy of another man. It is inherent in a woman to be monogamous. I won't say it is inherent in a man to be polygamous, but I'll say he is more amenable to having multiple partners. That is the nature in which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has created men and created women. So we should not have this competition that, you know, whatever the man gets, a woman must get, and whatever woman must get, a man must get. That is the kind of discussion that non-Muslims have. We believe in the wisdom of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Lastly, I'll say this though, that there are those ulama who opine that those women who were never married, or those women who were divorced, and therefore they have no husbands in Jannah, Allah will create for them male whores to keep them company in Jannah. So technically, some women will get whores. But those who have husbands, they will be the queen of the whores of their husbands. Easy steps to enter Jannah. Yesterday we discussed, read your 12 rakat sunnah to Muakkadah every day. Two before Fajr, four before, and two after Zuhr, two after Maghrib, and two after Isha. Today, very quickly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning a hadith. If you look after your daughters well, if Allah has given you daughters and you look after them well, Allah will grant you Jannah. May Allah grant us the understanding.
We move on now to the final discussion pertaining to Jannah in the series. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yunus, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ الْحُسْنَ وَزِيَادَةً. Those people who do good, those who are pious, obedient servants of Allah, they will get the best and extra. Now the best, the scholars say, is Jannah. What is extra? I want to share with you two ahadith. One hadith, it is mentioned that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will say to the Jannati, that, O people of Jannah, Ya Ahlal Jannah. And the people of Jannah will respond and say, Labbaik Ya Rabbana wa Sa'daik. Allah, we are here. And Allah will say, Are you happy? Are you happy? And the people of Jannah will say, O Allah, you have given us that which you have given no one else in your creation. And Allah says, I will give you something even better. And the people of Jannah will ask, O Allah, what can he be? What can be better? And Allah will then say, I will bestow my pleasure upon you from today onwards for eternity. I will never ever be displeased with you. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرٌ. The greatest bounty of Jannah is when Allah declares that He's happy with you. We should not aspire for Jannah because of the hoors, or because of the rivers, or because of the springs, or because of the palaces. We should aspire for Jannah because Jannah is located under the throne and arsh of Allah. If you reach Jannah, it is the closest you can be to Allah. That should be our aspiration as Muslims, that Allah must be happy with me. And that is the proclamation that Allah will make, Ya Ahlal Jannah, today I proclaim that I am happy with you. Then in another narration it is mentioned that after the people of Jahannam have been condemned to Jahannam and the last Jannati has entered Jannah, then Allah will say, an announcer will say, O people of Jannah, Allah has a covenant that He needs to fulfill with you. He needs to fulfill His promise to you. And the people will say, but what can that be? Allah has made our scale of good deeds heavy. Allah has brightened our faces. Allah has saved us from Jahannam. And Allah has entered us into Jannah. What is it that can be left that Allah still has to do for us? And then the veil will be lifted. And the people of Jannah for the first time will see Allah. And that's the meaning of ziyada, extra. If you're a good servant of Allah, you get husna, which is Jannah. And then you get the extra when you see Allah. Wujuhun yawma'idhin nadira ila rabbiha nadira. On that day, your faces will be shining because you will be looking at Allah. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, we asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will we be jostling to get to see Allah? He said, no, each one will be able to see Allah. Like every inhabitant of this planet, you look up, you see the sun, you see the moon. No one needs to fight for space. Everyone will be able to see Allah. It is mentioned that in Jannah, there'll be a market. And you'll go to the market every Friday. Not to do business, not to buy anything. Just to meet the other Jannatis. And every Friday Allah will reveal Himself to the people of Jannah in that market. And when they return to their spouses, they will say, you're looking more beautiful than we saw. You're looking even more beautiful now than you were looking before we went and we saw Allah. And the spouses will say, but even you looking much more beautiful. Every Friday. And then the scholars have written that the highest ranked people in Jannah will see Allah every morning and every evening. They won't have to wait to go to the marketplace on a Friday. May Allah make us from amongst them. May Allah make us from amongst them. Brothers, this entire 2 weeks or so, we've been discussing easy steps to Jannah. Yesterday I said, you know, that take care of your daughters if Allah has given you daughters, and that could be your ticket to Jannah. Today, I will discuss something very easy. You read Ayatul Kursi after every Farad Salah, and nothing stops you from Jannah except death. How difficult can that be? I'll be taking leave tomorrow, inshallah. I'll be going to London, and I will be requesting that all of us make dua, that Allah make us from amongst the Jannatis. We should make dua, but at the same time, we should make effort. There was a Sahabi
who did something for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Nabi of Allah said, tell me what you want. He said, ya Rasulullah, make dua that Allah must grant me your companionship in Jannah like he granted me your companionship in this world. So the Nabi of Allah said, okay, I'll make the dua, but a'inni ala dhalika bi kathrati sujood. You also make an effort. Perform salah excessively so that you make it easy for my dua to be accepted. Ramadan is the time when we need to check our lives. Are we on the path to Jannah? Are we on the path to Jannah? Check, what are my actions like? What we're going to do is all these easy steps that we have discussed in the last few weeks, we're going to have it written down and we'll circulate that. Let's start the practice now. The purpose was not for us to sit and listen wah 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 when we hear about the beauties of Jannah. The purpose behind this discussion was for us to action what we have heard so that inshallah we all become Jannatis. Say inshallah, brothers. Let me leave you with this inshallah. Inni uhibbukum fillah. I love you for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We need to love one another. No matter where you go in the world, Nur al-Islam is still close to your hearts. Make dua for me, I'll make dua for you. May Allah unite us all in Jannatul Firdaus, inshaAllah.